Who do you say that Jesus is? I'm guessing that's a lot easier question for you and me than it probably was for the disciples. I don't know if all the disciples really knew yet for sure who Jesus really was. It was pretty brave of Peter to step up and say, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." My first thought for today was to ask you to visualize, when I asked you that question, to visualize Jesus. And I wondered if you would visualize Jesus as that long-haired, blue-eyed, white Jesus that we're all so familiar with from growing up. Or would you envision that brown Middle Eastern Jesus that some researchers have shown us Jesus might have looked like? But the more and more that I thought about it, I thought, is it really important how we see Jesus in our mind's eyes? I've mentioned before, but when I went to Nazareth last year and we went to the Cathedral of Mary, they offered every country a place in the cathedral or around the grounds where their country could hang an image of Mary. So it was kind of amazing to me as I walked around to see that almost every country portrayed Mary in their own image. So there were Japanese Marys and African Marys and Anglo Marys and on. It's only natural for us to view Christ as ourselves. I think the important question that I would ask is, when we talk about Jesus and we talk about who Jesus was and is, can you stretch your imagination enough to see Jesus in the people that you come in contact with every day? Can you see Jesus in the Asian sitting on the bus next to you, or the Latino at the table next to you in a restaurant, or as the homeless person that you pass on the street corner? It's hard to stretch our imagination to see Jesus in all the people that we come in contact with each day. And part of what I've been thinking about a lot recently is, if I want people to see Jesus in me, and if I want people to know that Jesus is the foundation of my life and see Jesus in my actions, then I need to be able to see Jesus in every person that I meet. That means in some ways I have to believe that Jesus is a part of every person that I meet. That whether they know Christ personally, whether their life has been changed by a personal relationship with Christ, they are a child of God and Christ walks with them every step that they take. So I must be able to see Jesus in the person on the corner who's asking for money. I need to be able to see Jesus in the mother on the playground playing with her children. I need to be able to see Jesus in the person that I pass in the grocery store, in the car that pulls up next to me. No matter their skin color, no matter their social status, no matter where they grew up, how they grew up, no matter what mistakes they've made, we are all children of God. And if I can't accept the fact that we're all worthy of Christ's love and mercy, then I don't know who Jesus was or is. I don't know that Jesus was and is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. But then Jesus goes on to say to Peter, now that you know who I am, Peter, you are the rock on which I will build my church. And I think that's very fitting for us today, because I think in the midst of this pandemic, that the church today needs to be a rock on which people can turn. But you know, rocks can play a couple of different roles in our world. Rocks can be a foundation, like Jesus said to Peter, a solid ground on which to build something of importance, something that needs to stand the test of time. But a rock can also be a stumbling block. A rock can cause people to lose their footing and fall. Or a rock can be used to downright destroy something. I believe Jesus was telling Peter and the disciples that they had a very important role to play in the world's future. But I'm not sure the church has always continued that role. We all have seen churches who have been stumbling blocks to people's faith. I've seen people, in the name of Christ, turn on other people because they didn't fit their view of what they felt like a Christian should be. Jesus called Peter to build the church on a foundation solid as a rock. A foundation that didn't trip people up, a foundation that didn't destroy people's faith, but a foundation that supported people during the most difficult times. The church is for such a time as this. I wondered when this pandemic began, what would happen to the church during this time? Would people just enjoy a few weeks of not having to go to work or school or church and just enjoy a little rest around the house? People would watch the virtual services we were providing, and I tell you, I was pleasantly surprised because we had more people watching in the beginning than we would have had at church on that Sunday morning. The numbers were strong for those first few weeks. But then we began to see that this wasn't going to just be a few weeks. It was going to take a little bit more time to get back to normal. And now we're 5 months in. And my concern is, can the church maintain? Will the church, like some businesses, end up having to close their doors, another casualty of COVID? Now, before we panic, I'm not saying that the church at Highland Park might have to close, but I do worry about the church as a whole. How does the Church of Jesus Christ survive during a pandemic? How does the Church of Jesus Christ survive during difficult times? And I'm reminded by this passage that the church is a rock. The church is built on Jesus Christ. If we as the church remember exactly why Jesus wanted the church in the first place, if we remember why we're called to be the church at Highland Park, to share the gospel message with the people of Austin, then we will be the church when we are able to return to the building. Does that mean we'll be the same church? I honestly hope not. I hope that we've learned during this time what is really important. I hope we've learned to depend upon Christ in a way that we've never depended on him before. I hope we don't take for granted the opportunity ever again that we have to be in fellowship and worship with one another. I hope we are a changed people. I hope we are people who can see Jesus in one another, strengthened and ready to serve the community of Austin and this world, and ready to make the changes that this world needs in order to be the people that God has called us to be. I hope you'll be in prayer with me, so that when we return together again, we're prepared to put our feet on the ground and get busy doing the work we've been called to do. Amen and amen.